Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today is going to be a story that you've never heard before because, y'all, in real estate, every day is unknown, unexpected, and frankly, the reason we all do this. So today I've got an amazing Texas realtor who's not even three decades old yet, but already a smoking success in the business, Isabel Affinito. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. That's an amazing introduction. I'm flattered. Well, I'm excited to be here.
It's true because the rest of the world that's not involved in realtor world doesn't know that we have this really cool club called the 30 Under 30s, and it's incredibly competitive where, as an organization, we want to find the best of the best of our youngest realtors who are knocking the cover off the ball to really not only just say, hey, look how great they are, but to demonstrate to other people that this is a really cool career to be in. So it's no small shakes that you've made that designation. And as a girl, extra credit, rock on, because, you know, it's always good stuff.
Thank you. Well, 30 Under 30 has been a really wild ride this year. It's been amazing. And I know you said that the public doesn't know about it, but I can tell you that everyone who knows me knows about it because I have not shut up about it in months. So they're all familiar at this point.
So tell our listeners how long you've been in real estate, where exactly you're located, any tiny tidbits they should know to know you a little bit better.
Sure. So I have been selling real estate in Austin for about 4 years. I started in real estate right after graduating from Villanova at the age of 22. So that's been like 8 years ago, basically. And I kind of moved between commercial real estate, and then I moved into residential and sold residential real estate in New Jersey, right outside of New York City for a couple years before my husband and I made the move down to Austin. So we live in Central Austin. I do a lot of work in Central Austin, and I love being here. So I'm back closer to where I grew up, which was Oklahoma. And I brought my Jersey boy of a husband down with me.
Well, it must have been a transition for him. I mean, of course, Austin likes to keep it weird, but how much of a transition was that for him?
Well, a little bit. I mean, he had gotten his feet wet by coming home to meet my family in Oklahoma, which is even more of different than New York and New Jersey. But Austin is kind of like training wheels for being in this part of the world. Sometimes he says, oh, we just left Austin and now we're in Texas. Like when we drive, you know, outside of Austin, and all of a sudden there's cowboy hats and pickup trucks and all that kind of stuff. He's like, oh, we're in Texas now. We're not in Austin anymore.
Okay, that's hilarious. And I used to live outside of Dallas, so I have a whole reasonable perspective on that. And he put it so succinctly, that's probably their next statewide advertising campaign, or at least Austin's advertising campaign. So as you know, the premise of the podcast is we want you to tell the stories that people don't know about real estate. And you have a really interesting scenario that frankly wouldn't just happen in Austin, but it really kind of fits your demographic in that area pretty darn well. So tell our listeners the encounter you had.
Sure. So I had some sellers that I worked with who wanted to sell their house in Austin. And I went over to the house and I sat down with them. It was a man and wife and their toddler. And they wanted to sell their home. And we were talking about timing for putting the home on the market. And the wife said to me, well, you know, right now it's Mercury retrograde. And I would really like to wait until after Mercury retrograde to sell the house, because traditionally this is a time of conflict and you're not supposed to make important decisions or enter into contracts, because if you do, they're going to go bad. And that's what Mercury retrograde means. So I listened to her explanation of all this. And like a good salesperson, I've been taught to ask questions. And so I listened to her and I asked her, okay, so it sounds like this is important to you. If there was an offer, if someone wanted to buy your house in the next month and a half before Mercury retrograde is over and the offer is good, would this be a reason for you not to take the offer? Do you feel strongly enough about that we really should wait until after this is over? And she thought about it and she said, no, I mean, it's important to me, but if something came along, I would be willing to accept a contract during this time.
Okay, so I got to interject and ask a question for the normal people out there. What is Mercury retrograde? Did you have to look it up or did you know what it was? Because it's a phrase I'd never heard until I ran into some weird people in real estate myself.
I had never heard of it before. And so, of course, I went home and looked it up afterwards. I can't remember. I may have asked her at the time to elaborate. I don't remember. What I do remember is that it has something to do with the rotation of the Earth and the way that it's moving around the sun, and when Mercury is going a different direction than it normally is, and so it's supposed to throw off all the energy on planet Earth or something like that. All I knew, I didn't really care what it was. I just knew that it was important to her and that I couldn't act like that was ridiculous, because everybody has different standards for how they evaluate the world.
And you know, and I got to tell you too, it's a big accomplishment sometimes when you keep a straight face when somebody goes off into their own personal weird world.
You know, the big thing was I didn't want to take that at face value either, because it would have been easy for me to be like, that is so strange that I'm not even going to ask any more questions. I'm just going to pretend like she didn't say that. But I felt like it was important to have her talk through, like, is this a defining factor for you in your real estate transaction? Is Mercury retrograde going to make this life decision for you? Well, luckily the answer was no. So they did decide to go ahead and list the house.
Okay, so you're taking your chances, and she's decided that she can possibly deal with a contract during the time when contracts shouldn't happen. So it all went smoothly from there, right? You got a cash buyer and went straight to closing, right?
Not exactly. So one thing that really helped was that I genuinely liked both of these people a lot. They were very cool people, and I could see myself being friends with them. And so it made the whole transaction easier that I liked them so much. We went on the market, and the house looked great, and it was priced well. And like often happens in Austin, we had multiple offers the first weekend. So we hit the market, we have an open house, we've got four offers. I think it was four. Maybe three of them were highly competitive, like really close, neck and neck, above asking price, all good offers. So it feels like smooth sailing at that point. I present the offers to my clients. And at that point, husband calls me and tells me that they are getting a divorce.
Oh, so I guess all contracts are on the table during Mercury retrograde, not just houses.
I should have listened to her when she told me that Mercury retrograde is a bad time
right?
to transact real estate. I mean, if ever there was a self-fulfilling prophecy, this was one of them. Things went crazy. Things basically went crazy. And he was of the opinion that because he bought it before they got married, then it was separate property, not community property. Texas is a community property state, which means that that is not at all clear that would be the case. He said his lawyer was telling him that that was the case. And I said, look, title is not going to close until we have some kind of an agreement of the parties. We're going to need like lawyer letters, and that's not going to happen overnight. You know, I understand that that's how you think that this should go, but there are a lot of parties involved who have to sign off on this whole thing. You know, meanwhile, I'm having conversations with her too, and she's asking me my opinion about this whole thing. So it was a very delicate line to be walking, because I was representing both of them, but now suddenly they're not in agreement about things. That was the first challenge.
That really uncomfortable place to be in. Woo.
It was an uncomfortable place to be in. Now, here's the other thing that was going on, though. We had multiple offers, and so we had called for what's called best and final. That's what we call it in Austin. I don't know if they use that term elsewhere. But basically, that means, hey, guys, there's a lot of interest. Everybody submit your best offer, and like within 24 hours of the submission deadline, something's going to be signed with somebody. Well, between the time that we called for best and final, like right after I called for best and final and after those offers all came in, that's when they told me that this was going on.
Of course it was, because why tell you any sooner than that while you're over there working, trying to sell the house? I mean, that's all irrelevant.
So then here was the other big challenge, was that all of these agents who had submitted their best and final offer expected quick answers from me. They expected a resolution. But meanwhile, on my side of things, everything's going crazy. But I know that it's not in my client's best interest for me to go back to the other agents and be like, hey guys, everything's going nuts. Sorry, here's what's going on. Like, I couldn't really tell the other agents because my clients had not given me permission at that point to tell the other agents that there was now this thing going on, which might mean that they're not selling their house at all. I had the task of keeping their confidential information confidential and making sure that I was only sharing what they wanted shared, and also trying to keep these three offers that were good alive while we figured this out, until we knew what was happening.
So now you should know, if you're a normal person listening to this, it sounds to you maybe like, oh, that should totally be disclosed. It sounds like the word material fact is talked about, but this is in that very weird realm where you can't say that somebody's divorce is a material fact if it's not filed, if they're discussing it. And so what happens is buyer's agents have to have good communication with the seller's agent, but sometimes the seller's agent, you're in the middle of a mess and there's really nothing you can say because everything could change in the blink of an eye. And that's really tricky because everything looks cut and dried when you watch HGTV, but nothing is ever that clean.
Right. So the first thing, you know, in the first 24 hours after best and final, I'm kind of just going, wait a minute, what's going on? So husband, have you talked to wife about this? Are you guys talking to attorneys? Are you in agreement? Are you not in agreement? What's going on? I'm trying to figure all that stuff out. And of course, the emotions are high, right? Because there was an event that happened that caused emotions to be high between the two of them. So I'm trying to just get the story straight and hold off these other agents for as long as possible. The other agents start flipping out. Like the other three agents who, of course, their buyers are flipping out.
Exactly.
And so they in turn are flipping out because everybody's going, what's going on? Going on? What's going on? And I'm telling them there's something going on that I can't talk about right now. It's going to be a few days before we make any decisions. As soon as I can tell you something else, I will let you know. And so they all start thinking, oh, you're playing games, you're trying to get more money out of us. You know, they're all jumping to like the worst conclusions. And I'm just saying, if I could tell you what was going on, I would.
Promise, please, I'm not a snake. Please believe me, I am
right.
Not a snake. My sellers are not snakes.
If you are still interested in this price, if you need to walk away, I understand. If your buyers need to move on and make other decisions, I understand. But if you are still interested in this property, all I can ask is for patience and understanding until I can tell you more. And it was just like mayhem. So eventually what ends up happening is that the sellers tell me that I can share some details with the buyer's agents. So I share some, hey, there's a possible divorce situation. We're trying to figure it out. And at that point, the buyer's agents are like, are you kidding me? I've never had to put up with something like this before. This is ridiculous. Don't you know how to manage your clients? And I'm just like, I'm doing my best.
Did somebody for real say that to you? Don't you know how to manage your clients? Like you're going to control their marriage?
I got a little bit of that.
Shut up.
I got a little bit of that. You know what my favorite thing is that agents say? I have never had this happen in all of the transactions that I've done. And I want to say, well, how many transactions have you done? I mean, there's so many things that go crazy that you have an entire podcast about it.
Right. You think about it, like the minute you say, man, I've seen everything, is precisely when the next phone call brings you a crazy, unpredictable, unheard of situation. So that attitude is just irritating and appalling and frankly, untrue and unfair. So anyway, you've got the snooty pants agents yelling at you. Your sellers are mad at each other. So what happens next?
So eventually they're able to come to some kind of an agreement about what's going to happen with the money at closing. That's satisfying enough to title that I feel like I can, because what I've been telling my clients along the way is, look, we can accept one of these contracts, but it's begging for a lawsuit. Like if you guys don't have your stuff figured out and we accept a contract, then now all of a sudden we have a contract with these buyers and we have an obligation to close. And if you can't close because you haven't agreed about where the money is going when you close, then I'm putting you into a lawsuit situation. And so we were waiting, right? So finally, they come to enough of an agreement that title says, okay, we're willing to close on this deal. And I can go back to the original offers and say, if you guys are still interested, we're now ready to move to closing. And are you still interested? Now, amazingly, I actually cannot believe this, but amazingly, all three of those offers stuck around.
They must have really wanted that house, man.
They really wanted the house. But because it had been like a week at this point, I checked back with all three of these agents and said, are you still in? Is your buyer still in? Okay, next. Are you still in? I went back to all three of them. Now, the other painful thing about this for me was that I knew which one of these three was the highest and which one was most likely to be accepted. So in some situations, there were these other two agents. Actually, the other two agents were being more patient and nicer. And I knew that we were going to have them hang around for a week and then tell them no if the highest offer didn't walk.
The best offer wasn't the nice one? I hate that.
No, it wasn't. And I shouldn't say not the nice one because he's actually a nice enough agent. I don't really have anything bad to say about him. I think he was just under some pressure with his buyers. So I don't want to be too judgmental.
Okay, I'll judge if you won't. I'll do the judging. He should have controlled his emotions and been nicer to you. But anyway, carry on.
So we end up accepting one of them, and then I have to tell these other two, thank you for hanging around for a week, but you didn't win. That was fun. So we accept it. it more or less gets to closing. We have a couple other bumps along the way, but it gets to closing. By the time, this is my favorite thing about this whole story. By the time we sit down at the closing table, this husband and wife have decided not to get a divorce.
Oh, did Mercury come out of retrograde or go into positive grade or whatever it is?
I don't know. I don't know about the energy or what might have, what, whatever. But it was, it, honestly, it almost made me cry to have them sit down at the closing table with me and happily close with their beautiful little toddler, her boy, who was so cute. And we all sat there at closing, and it was like the best ending to a story. And I felt really honored to be there to take them through that difficult transaction, because it would have been easy, I think, for me to make mistakes along the way where I took one side over another or did something that made the made a difficult situation worse. And I was so careful, and I spent so much energy not sacrificing my professionalism and being careful to do what I thought was right by them. And then to see them be able to reconcile and all of us sit down and have a happy closing, it was really heartwarming for me.
Well, and it points out one of the hardest things to learn as a realtor and one of the hardest things to maintain, which is that ability to slow down, stay calm, act with caution, because too many mm-hmm. realtors get so caught up with the emotion of their clients, and they don't mean to, but you mm-hmm. get so tight with people, they're heated up, you're heated up too, and now you don't proceed with caution. And I think about your realtor you mentioned and wrote a good offer and hung in there, but had gotten a little bit difficult because the emotion had gotten him wrapped up. Mm-hmm. So if he was representing the sellers, it could have resulted in a whole different outcome. So,
oh, for sure.
It becomes one of those moments where you know you're doing what you're supposed to do with your life because you're able to focus on the whole picture, the holistic outcome for your sellers. But it also means if you are a normal person listening to this, this is why you want a passionate realtor, but you want a passionate realtor who knows how to slow it down and get serious when they have to get serious, because it's so multifaceted what we're dealing with. This house was never just the house. So looking back on this scenario, have you kept up with this cute couple? And because I have to know if they're still together and if the toddler's still in a happy home.
I have kept up with them off and on. They actually decided that what they were going to do is take the money that came out of this house, and instead of buying another house, they were going to go and travel together. That was one of the last I heard from them. I exchanged an email with her a couple of months ago, and she updated me on what was going on with them, and it sounded like things were good. I haven't talked to her in a few months. I think I reached out to her recently and just haven't heard back yet. But we stayed in touch off and on, and they were really sweet people, and that was the cutest little kid. Oh my gosh, she was such a cute little hippie baby.
Well, you know, if they can travel together, they can make that marriage last for decades. That's harder than buying a house together.
Yeah, no joke.
Okay, so if anybody's looking for an amazing realtor in Austin who can successfully tread on very thin ice and still help the transaction hold together, and we won't make promises that you can bring marriages back together, but apparently you have that magic, how can people find you?
On my website at isabelafinito.com. I'm also very active on Instagram at Funky Homes of Austin. And I recently started a podcast, Funky Homes of Austin Podcast, which is on the podcast app.
Okay, so people, I know you didn't write any of that down because nobody does. It's okay, though, because all of the information for Isabel's real estate business and her passion project will be in the show notes for this episode, so you can reach out to her for your Austin-related real estate needs. And frankly, if you have other Texas questions, I'm pretty sure she's got a network that could help hook you up if you need somebody else that knows Mercury retrograde, funky houses, and frankly, how to put marriages back together, because we're going to have to title this episode, The Realtor Who Put a Marriage Back Together.
I love that. And I love that.
I totally appreciate you coming on the show. Congratulations again for making 30 under 30 and continue giving back to this profession, because it's an amazing group of people who choose this amazingly crazy life.
It is a crazy one. It's definitely a crazy one. Well, thank you for having me on today, Lee. This was really a pleasure, and I'm glad I got to do this with you.
Absolutely. All right, people, you're listening. If you've got your own crazy story to tell and you're a broker, investor, inspector, lender, or just a normal human being who dealt some real estate stuff that blew your mind, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode. Make sure you subscribe for more, because you just don't know what you're going to hear, and we will see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.